strange is it how the COVID situation comes into our lives, and it's like we just never stop talking about it, or we're always reminded about it, isn't it? Like I remember about a few months ago, and it doesn't seem like all that long time ago, when we first went into shutdown, and the only service we had was these online services. And I must say, I struggled with that. Not with the message itself, I think they were brilliantly prepared, but just missed that fellowship with people, that contact, that seeing faces. And there's some good-looking people amongst us. some really good-looking people amongst us. And we thank God for them and for the others. But, oh no, I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to be reminded of that. But, you know, it was a hard time. And we went from online services to online services and then into groups of 10. Wow, we could meet 10 at a time. And that was encouraging. But we always prayed in our prayer meetings, in our prayer sessions, God, keep your hand upon your people. Let your spirit continue to work in them. Don't let your people wander away. And I don't think I'll be out of line by saying, our pastor had I felt at times that he was burdened with this, that he was caring so much about this flock. He wanted to see this day come again. You know, and here we are. If you doubt God's grace, hey, look at this. This is God's grace. We are evidence of God's grace, isn't it? We serve a great God, and we're going to worship Him now. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, worthy to receive glory, worthy to receive honor, worthy to receive all. Lift Him up, praise Him, exalt His name forever. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, worthy to receive honor.
Sing with me, how great is our God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. when darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God!
Age to age he stands,
and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God in three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God, how great is our God, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God.
Then sings my soul,
then sings my soul, oh my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
this morning, that his humble hearts would have revealed your glory through words of praise. And may this offering, O Lord, of worship and of praise arise before you and satisfy you this morning and bring glory to your name this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here. And we have a great reading this morning. Philippians chapter 2, and beginning at verse 12. And it says this: Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to the will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the words of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I soon as I see now things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who was also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For the longs for all of you and distress because you heard he was ill. Indeed he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I am all the more eager to send him, so that you see him again, you may be glad, I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour, men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. May God bless his reading this morning.
Thank you, Dennis, for reading the Word of God to us. And as Dennis sort of chatted before, I could tell his heart was thrilled to be able to read the Word of God. And my encouragement to you would be that your heart would be thrilled to not only hear the Word of God, but your heart would be thrilled to actually bring your Bible with you as you gather here, because you know there'll be points that that will stand out to you when the Word of God is opened and when we give our attention to His Word that you need to hold on to. It's nothing like having the Word in front of you. We're a privileged people to have that, and it's all very well for it to be thrown up onto the screen, and we're grateful for that technology. But if the lights go out and there is no power here, we'll still keep going, and it's a great thing to have the Word in front of you. It's also a great thing to have something like an exercise book or some way that you might choose to keep notes, because it's a terrible thing to let something as valuable as the Word of God to fall to the ground. And I don't mean drop literally to the ground. I simply mean for you to sort of hear something and then for it just to sort of be gone because you get to talk about the weather or something deep and meaningful like that afterwards. And something else takes your attention, and what was it? There was something that was impressed upon my heart, and you know, if you just take the step just to write it down, it might just be a verse, it might be two words that will help you to remember what it was that was spoken into your life. It might be something that you just go, I'm going to go back and read that again and again and again. And simply by writing it down is a great way to keep your attention drawn to that which God has spoken into your heart, something important. If it's important, God speaks it in your life, it's always important. And I just pray that today that His Word will just be touching our lives in such a way that we won't be able to get away from the truth that leads us into life and into freedom and into His purpose. Let's just pray again. Father, we thank you for your Word that is before us. We thank you, Lord, for this old story, which in reality is a new story. And it could be a new story for us today. And I pray, O God, in Jesus' name, for the stirring of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, in my life, in each heart and mind here, I pray, O God, even for our households, those that are not here, that, Lord, they need the stirring of your Spirit in their lives, Lord. And you are a mighty God who does mighty things, and you don't have to have all your people in one place to be able to speak into their lives. So we pray, Lord, no matter where they are, and there are many that are near and dear to us, we would just so long to see them, Lord, sensing what it is that should be, sensing what it is before you that 2021 will amount to and what they need to do in readiness to step into that. Lord, stir our hearts to this end, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always a hard one where to start to read and where to stop reading. I find, and you may have noticed that some of the times when we read God's Word, we actually overlap. We overlap a little bit from last week and into this week, and then we do the same next week. And it's because we're supposed to come to grips with the Word as a whole, not just a key verse here and there. And so that's why we've been doing that at times. And when we see in verse 12 where it talks about, where it says, it starts with therefore, you've got to read this in the light of what has just been revealed. And so we see the magnificence of what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that the God in all his glory in the person of the Son, for all eternity had planned to come at a specific time and for God to be revealed and for Jesus the Savior to come. And although Isaiah and other prophets pointed it out so clearly centuries beforehand, mankind still missed it. And we can still miss that today. But here it talks about, you know, Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. I'm reading from verse 6. Verse 7 it says, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Now that in itself is astounding. And although Jesus is mentioned in the Quran, people of Islamic understanding, they can't come to grips with God who would die. God cannot die. God cannot lose. But God lost. Jesus lost his life. He gave up his life for you. He said, I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. It's a magnificent thing. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross, the death of a criminal, suffering for our sin in our place. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this to the glory of God the Father. So therefore, my friends, and I love that, my friends. You know, we could read this and it could be, therefore, William, or therefore, Barbara, or therefore, Jacob. I don't know whether it's probably a lot more of you feeling left out, but that's not deliberate. And we could read this personally, but it's not written personally. It's written to the body. It's written to the community. It's written to people like us. Therefore, my dear friends, and I think sometimes in our society we overlay an individualism that says, well, this is about me. Well, yes, it is, but it's not just about you, it's about us. We stand together as something that is glorious. And don't just think like an individual. Don't think in isolation, because it's not written to an isolated people. It's written to the body of believers. My dear friends, and there's another in verse 17, there's another all of you in there. I love Paul's heart, where he speaks to this collective of believers, and even those he hasn't seen yet, those that don't know him personally. He's writing in prison and he's saying, I'm so concerned for your walk with God. And I'm wanting you to know what it is to grow and to have a sense of what should be. And here he lays it out. Oh, my dear friends, not as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. And he says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we could read something like that and we could go, oh, yes, I've got to try really hard to be a good person. I've got to just do my absolute best so that I can somehow merit God's salvation so I can somehow be accepted before him. And it's kind of wired into us to think a bit like that, even though biblically we know there's a different story. I was blessed to grow up in a family where I was loved and looked after, and I think I've mentioned before that I was chastised at times, and I was also given incentive at times to behave myself. Sometimes it had to resort to chastisement. Sometimes it was just enough reward to kind of get me on the right track. And I think sometimes we look at that, you know, if I'm a good boy, God will bless me. And if I'm a naughty boy, then I'm on the outer. God operates altogether differently to that. You know, as parents, we do the best we can for our kids. We work with limited knowledge. God has unlimited knowledge of what his purposes for you are. And you don't have to work out your salvation. You don't have to work to be saved, because salvation is a gift. Salvation, you know, the word salvation, or the word to be saved, actually refers to something devastating. You're in a devastating situation. You've got a life and death situation, an absolutely perilous situation before you, and you need to be saved. I think I've used this example before, the Commodore of the Coast Guard down here was telling a story at one of the men's breakfasts, and he was a very good communicator, and he said one of the calls they got was for a couple of guys who were going canoeing for the rest of their lives. And I thought, going canoeing for the rest? I love canoeing, but I've never thought of going canoeing for the rest of my life. Well, these guys, it wasn't one of Sarah's canoes, so that was really good. These guys had got in their canoe and they paddled out into the Reeves Channel, and the tide was running out, and out they went. And their expected lifespan was starting to get considerably shorter. And there was, so the rest of their lives wasn't going to be that long. And they were in a perilous situation, so perilous that the surf had pounded them so much as they'd hung onto their boat. When they were pulled into the Coast Guard boat, it was a tad embarrassing because their clothes had been washed off them. Now, you've been pounded around a fair bit if whatever you're wearing has been washed off you. Don't get too carried away with that mental picture. But they needed to be saved. They were in a devastating situation. And we've been informed with great sadness of the loss of life, both in New South Wales and Victoria. And there wasn't somebody there to save those people. The marvellous thing is there's someone that is there to save you. You've been in a perilous situation. Some of you are right now in a perilous situation. You've got the opportunity of knowing your Maker, or you've got the opportunity of rejecting him. You've got the opportunity of seeing how great this gift of God is, and that you can be saved from separation from God, which you're in right now. And that separation will be an eternal separation. It won't be like a last-minute thing, go, oh, when I die, I hope that they'll weigh up the scales and I'll go to heaven. Heaven will be an awful place for anybody that doesn't know their Maker. And you've got the opportunity now to know your Maker. That's why you're made, to know your Maker. And that's why Jesus came, to save you from the devastating situation of being lost, of having death and eternal death, an eternal separation, of having hell awaiting you, a place of separation from God. So it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, it's saying, see what an awesome thing it is that God has done. So awesome that you just can't put into words what has been done for you. He's saying, fall into line with, start to cooperate with this wholeheartedly, because God has done something. Allow yourselves to be overwhelmed and to stand in awe of what God has done for us in his Son Jesus. And it's not you that works to achieve that, because the very next phrase says this. It's just after a comma. It's not even a new sentence. For it is God. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. See, it's not you. All you can do is fall into line. All you can do is accept the gift. All you can do is allow yourself to be pulled into the boat and to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus and to belong. It's God who is at work in you. It reminds me of the first sermon I ever preached. I was only a young fella, probably in my late teens, and the pastor gave me the opportunity to preach one Sunday night, and I wrote out all my notes. And I just preached this word-for-word sermon from my notes. And I It was a learning experience for me. But I spoke out of John chapter 15, and it's been, in a sense, a special part of God's word to me all the days of my life. And it talks about God being at work in us and how God causes us, he works and makes us part of his family if we will accept the gift of salvation. And Jesus says to those who were with him, just this is the night before he's arrested, he says these words. He says, you know, I am the vine and my father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch. This is John chapter 15. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So these guys have encountered Christ. They've been following Jesus. They don't know the full extent of why Jesus came yet. They're not really accepting the fact that he would have to die for them. But there's been some cleansing go on in their life because they'd heard the word of God spoken to them. And then he says this, and this is the most amazing picture. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Now, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And you can't live your life the way that God designed unless you belong to Christ. And neither can I. And yet there's a strong bias within us for me to be able to do my own thing. And yet God calls me into something better than that. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then in verse 5 it says this, I am the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I just love the fact that God is declaring his heart for us to be in Christ, to belong in him. And he has done the work so that is made possible. So I don't know whether this morning you're one that has fallen into line with that. I don't know whether you're one that stands in awe of that. I don't know whether you're one that would just gladly cooperate and trust wholeheartedly for God to be at work in you and to see his great plan of your salvation and our salvation worked out in an awesome way with fear and trembling. Not so much something to be scared of, but something to be amazed by. That God would do that in us. But I said this is, I think when I prayed, I said, you know, this is an old story. But it's a new story. It's an old story because it was written to people a long time ago, but it's a new story because it can be ours today. And I don't know whether you live with a sense, as 2021 unfolds, a sense of what should be, but I believe God would open up that to your heart and to our hearts and to the heart of this church. But, you know, I think the old story for us Australians kind of gets confronted here in the next verse 14. It says this, do everything without complaining or arguing. What? There's a funny part there somewhere, is there? Do everything without complaining or arguing. Greeted a brother this morning and asked him how he was going. He said, no complaints. What a biblical way and a place to be. No complaints. I won't say too many details because this goes out on the internet, but in my early working career, I worked with some fellows. I learnt my trade. Now I'm starting to give too much detail. And one of them, I'm sure, was a lifetime member, an honorary member of the If Only Club. And he could recount of all the things in his life that if only my father hadn't sold all that large parcel of land, I would be so wealthy now because, look, it's all been subdivided. And if only I hadn't married, I am giving too many details. And he could just recount thing after thing after thing. I learned pretty early in my life, there is no point complaining. There's no point being a member of the If Only Club, but it's very Australian. Oh, if only Daniel Andrews, you know, whatever. Or pick a politician, whichever one you like the least. You know, if only this, or pick the ones you like the most, or if only everybody else thought they were as good as I do, you know. And Australians are shockers at complaining. Now, I can't really speak for other nations, but I know from my Australian heritage that we are shockers at complaining. And it sneaks into the church. And we can complain about this one and that one, complain about the pastor. I think that's happened once or twice. They don't complain to my face, but they complain to somebody else. They don't complain where you could do something about it. It says do everything without complaining or arguing. Even in the church, sometimes people will resort to arguing about something. And the scripture tells us that's not the way. See, there's an old story that you can be sucked into, or there's a new story that you can live in. There is a sense of what should be that God lays out for us here. And you know, when we live with complaint and with argument, you know, argument before it comes out of our mouth has usually gone on up here for quite some time. It says in Hebrews 12, it says, don't let any bitter root, you know, spring up within you and defile many. You know, a bitter root of something that has gone on at some stage in your life that you've not done what you should have done about it, which is you could take it to Christ, actually, and say, here, Jesus, this was sin that was either sinned against me or I committed, or this is a situation and I'm bringing it to you, you can walk away free because Jesus paid for sin. And not only for your sin, but the sin of the whole world. You can be free. You can have nothing to complain about. You can have no complaints. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I might boast on the day of Christ, I didn't run or labor for nothing. Oh, I get excited about what the Bible shows me about what God's word shows me about what should be. It gives me a sense of what should be. And see, he's not saying that I want you guys to just pray for me while I hold out the word of life because I'm the apostle and I'm the one that's got the power. Now he's saying to the faithful, to the believing people, he's saying to them, don't get sucked into whinging about what's going on around you. Don't be drawn into arguments, because you read over in chapter 4, you realize there was some arguments that he was actually going to address. A couple of women, actually. And he asks one of the leaders there to address that. I plead with Iodia and I plead with Syntyche, agree with other, and yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side. These are faithful people. And they're decided not to get on with each other. They've been in ministry with the apostle and they're back in the life of this church and they won't get on. What a great job this loyal yoke fellow had to have to go and sit down with these two ladies. That would have been fun. And so he's addressing life in the real world and he's saying, here, I want you to have a sense of what should be so that your attitude truly is the same as that of Jesus Christ, because you're saved for something better than just doing what the world does. You know, we live in a world that is absolutely preoccupied with conflict. We live in a world that is dysfunctional. We live in a world that's crooked and depraved. We live in a world where God wants you to shine like stars. Wants us to shine like stars as we hold out the word of life. Yeah, it's my job to hold out the word of life, but it's your job too. It's our job to hold out the word of life and to shine like stars. And you know the exciting thing about that? It's actually God working in you. That makes that happen. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's his good purpose that your life and our lives together shine like stars in this district, in this town, and that other people also come to know the saving love of God. That other people come to know this life. That other people can be included in the all of you. this collective, this community, this family of God. I would encourage you to read on and to reflect on what we've looked at so far in just these first few verses. But you see this personal word to Timothy and this personal word about Epaphroditus, and you would see another important thing that we as a church need to understand, a sense of what should be. And that is the heart of God, the revealed heart of God, with what Jesus said to his disciples, with what he modeled himself and then said to his disciples, says, go and make disciples. And here is the Apostle Paul speaking of one who he's discipled, and another, I would presume he also discipled, who came and worked alongside and assisted in Epaphroditus. And he speaks of Clement, and he speaks of Euodia and Syntyche. We see this principle of making disciples, of engaging with people, of finding the ones who want to learn what it is to follow Jesus and to show them what that really means. And we see an example here of his very personal word and his heartfelt words about his young brother Timothy. I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you so that you also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. What high praise for this young fellow. He has a genuine interest in the welfare of God's people. For everyone looks out for his own interests, but not those of Christ Jesus. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I believe that God makes it very clear and gives us a very clear sense of what should be. We are called to be people who personally and together see our salvation worked out with fear and trembling. We do be people that know God's work in our lives, so that we know that it is God who is working in us to will and to act according to his good purposes. It is his good purpose that we walk in oneness of heart and we're not drawn away by argument or complaint. It is his good purpose that our lives reflect the loveliness of Christ as we hold out the word of truth. And it is his good purpose that we practically make disciples. That we don't just go, well, I'm getting too old now and I can't do this anymore. But we've actually engaged in walking alongside somebody else and said, hey, could you give me a hand with this? Maybe two or three. Could you give me a hand with this? And as that is happening, they're learning what it means to serve in that particular area. They're learning what it means to trust and to follow Jesus. And the discipling process is not from 10 to 11 on a Sunday morning. The discipling process is throughout the week, as you walk with people who God puts you near for this very purpose. And so we see the fruit of it here, as he commends Timothy and knows he's up for the job because he's been on the job. Could we be people who gather people alongside and say, hey, let's follow Jesus together and do such and such. And find out what he does in their life that encourages and builds into their life and affirm that. And to see other people that get to know as much as we know. And then we can say, I'm too old to do this now. You're up for it. Instead of seeing ministries cease because we've not made disciples. So let me encourage you in that. Let me encourage you in the consideration of leadership, that they may not fall into the category of verse 21. For everyone looks out for his own interests, but not those of Christ Jesus. As we look to seeing who to set apart to serve in particular areas, deacons or an elder, or other aspects of the church's ministry, let's look for people who look out for the interests of others. Let's look out for people who are there to build others up and take a genuine interest in other people's welfare and in their growth in the Lord. I encourage you to go and open this word again during the week. I encourage you to read and get your an exercise book or however it is that you record, and I pray that you be caught up in a new story. I pray that you be caught up with a sense of what should be, because I believe God has a door of opportunity opened up to us, and we've walked through that door with a number of different areas as a church, but there is yet more to do, and there are yet people who need to know the Saviour. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for an old story where we see the lives of real people who followed you then. And Lord, as there are real people here who, Lord, you love and you've saved, and Lord, who you've got things in mind for them, for all of us, in fact, together. Father, I pray that we might be ones who would know your guiding hand. I pray that we would be easily directed into your word. I pray that your spirit would cause your word to stir our hearts into things that, Lord, you've always had in mind for us to be part of. I pray that, Lord, we would know the privilege of being pure and blameless children, Lord, that hold out the word of life in, Lord, into a confused and darkened world. I pray that we be unashamed to speak of you, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would see the opportunity where we just sense what should be when it comes to walking alongside somebody else. I pray, oh God, you'd give us the great joy of seeing who it is that you have in mind for us to disciple. I pray we would have a great joy and privilege of encouraging somebody else in their walk and in their faith. And I pray there will be many more that would yet hold out the word of life to others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we stand and sing in closing, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I trust that as we sing this as a prayer, basically, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, that we will also add to that. Give us a heart to follow your guidance. Give us a heart to walk in your ways. Let us stand and sing together. This morning, if we will not depart from your presence, but that the sweet fellowship of your Holy Spirit will remain with us this day and even until Jesus comes. We pray in your precious name. Amen.